Hey, listener, you're probably thinking this isn't how these normally start, and you're correct. The bookends of the interview episodes have become a little bit more difficult to schedule lately, so I just figured we're going to do them in the interview alone for a little bit and see what we can do. If not, this is just how it's going to be until further notice. It's just as simple as that. Morgan and I are going to do mailbags, sometimes with a guest, sometimes without a guest, but for the most part, this is going to be how it is for the foreseeable future. We already have another mailbag with Michael Solani in the can, ready to go. And I'll be in Vancouver in August. So August 21st to the 23rd, I've got shows at Comedy Underground and at Jokes Please on the 29th. That said, I'm gone for a couple weeks and can't record in that time. So there's a chance we miss an episode here or there, but I'm trying really hard to get something on the books before I leave. And that's just to get your expectations up to date. So shout out to you for listening. Thank you so much for listening. I want to also shout out our sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. It's the best place to be trading your cards. Send them to people who are going to use them. You got chaff. You got something that you don't see yourself ever using it. Why give up that trade equity at an LGS for credit when you can use it to find super specific cards that you have not been able to find in a little bit? Cardsphere has easily been where the place that ends my search. Like if I'm looking for a card and I hit the usual suspects, Cardsphere is in the tabs while I'm checking out. Hey, I've got an order coming from this place where I have a massive amount of credit and I just don't want to spend any money. Well, head over to Cardsphere and I find it. I find the card I'm looking for. Obviously, so many people have so many collections up. You're bound to find a card that you have had a hard time finding. And lately, I've just been on a kick of getting some cool foils. So I finally have a Sephiroth on the way. Shout out to Cardsphere. Very excited for that for all my Aristocrats decks. And I'm sorry to anybody who's annoyed by that card. I'm going to be playing it pretty much all the time. It makes the most sense. It's the best blood artist. Don't at me. But really, at me. If you like the show, tell me. This week's guest, Tori of the Vast of Scry Babies. Make sure to follow her on all platforms and check out the channel. And I'll tell you what, Scry Babies are going to be at MagicCon Atlanta. Sorry, I almost said Chicago again. MagicCon Atlanta, which is coming out in a month, coming up next month. Jeez. And you guys should totally say hi. Go get some games in. There's going to be some stuff announced pretty soon. I'm pretty sure there's going to be another CEDH event like Lua ran in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure that there might be another Scry Babies live if I had to guess, but I'm only speculating. Keep an eye on their socials for more updates and stuff. And now, without a further ado, it's time to get into the podcast, baby. Let's get into the Bullcast. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carozza. You might know me from EDH Rec for my series, Am I the Bullist, that this podcast is based on. We do this podcast with guests and we do mailbags, and today it's a guest episode. We got somebody calling in who I love very much and you're going to love too. Please call her. Who's on the line? Who are we talking to today?
Hello, it is Tori, one of the Scry Babies, where you could find me on YouTube playing Commander with my co-host Lewis Stardust, where we play mostly Commander and CEDH, and have a good time.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the show, Tori. Tori of the Vast, buddy. Long time trying to get you on this podcast. Got you on the Bachelor podcast I used to host before we got you on here, and I'll tell you what, I should still do that other podcast. I think we'd have fun talking some about that. Sorry, Ken. Have you been keeping up with The Bachelor at all?
I haven't watched the latest because I've been binging other things currently.
What you been into?
So I've been rewatching a lot of old seasons of Survivor, and then I was watching Traitors, which was really good.
Yes.
And then lately, I've been watching things that have been out forever that I should have watched a long time ago. Currently, I'm watching Peacemaker because I've never been a big DC person, which I'm sure we'll go into superheroes very soon. But I watched The Suicide Squad, the James Gunn one, and it was good. It was good. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I thought it was funny. And then I watched The Batman with Rob Pattinson, which I won't lie, took me like
that one.
It was really good, but it did take me 3 days to watch it because I kept falling asleep at night because I'm like horrible. I'll put on a movie and be like, I'm gonna get cozy and watch a movie, and then I pass out. And then I wake up and I have no idea what's happening, so I have to like restart it. But that one was awesome. Really, really good. And I told my sister and I told Steve, you know, that he was the one who wanted me to watch these because he wanted me to go see Superman. Uh-huh. And now I'm on the DC train and I've been watching Peacemaker, which was really funny.
Peacemaker's really funny. So The Suicide Squad, it's important to distinguish Suicide Squad from The Suicide Squad. You said the James Gunn one. So the one in 2021 and the one in 2016, not good. But the one in 2021, really fun. I enjoyed it too. Actually, you want to hear something? This is crazy that this is timed out like this. Today, 4 years ago today, first date with my girlfriend to see this movie. She was like, I thought the first one was bad in a fun way. Do you want to go watch a potentially bad movie with me? And I was like, hell yeah. And we were like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it might be.
What are the odds? What are the odds? That's crazy.
I don't know. It's real sweet. Pretty happy with it. Yeah, we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. Don't be like, oh, Mikey's working on his anniversary night. That sounds silly. No. Tomorrow's better.
Yeah, you got a nice Friday. Anyway. Good weather.
Yeah. Exactly. That's so fun. I've been meaning to revisit some stuff. However, the stuff that I keep wanting to revisit is just old seasons of Drag Race. Mm. And I really want to find a way to watch older seasons of Married at First Sight Australia, which is, hands down, the superior reality TV
show.
You've
been telling me that for a long time. But you're not a Survivor person, right?
Never have been.
You need
not
to, because when we talk about like superior reality TV, that's like goated. Like, I never believed until I started watching with Steve and Lua, and now I'm like so Survivor pilled. And I watched like a lot of, like, not all of them, but I watched a lot of the old ones that are really good. And now like we have like Survivor parties and we like get together to watch it. And now like my whole family got into it too. So like we all go to Chili's on Wednesday before Survivor.
Wow.
Talk about what we think's gonna happen. Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Okay, well, that's so sweet. That's nice. That's like an extra part of it that makes it worth it. To me, it's like, I didn't not watch Survivor. I like watched a bit of it and just was not interested. To me, this whole idea of like, hey, let's like let's not raise the prize pool for essentially like surviving in the worst conditions and then having to like mentally gymnastic your way around manipulating other people. just pretty wild. Like, the thing is, the Traitors made me want to dive in to see, I don't want to say her name because she is very good at the game in the first season of The Traitors, but she's someone that I was like, I think I got to watch Survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, there was also like Poverty, who's also like an interesting character that I'm like, I wonder what she was like on there. And then there was the original winner of the first Survivor that I'm like, he was apparently a menace on the island to everybody. So that's like of interest, but not enough. I don't know where to stream it. I'm not
Paramount
about
Plus.
To like go out of my way for it. I don't want to get another thing. I was about to say Paramount Plus isn't available here. It's available.
And they also
here.
Have old seasons just, of Drag Race. You could do both.
Yeah, but I got Drag Race on Crave.
Oh,
we got
that's
Crave
right. Crave
TV has us covered for Drag Race. Yeah, the Canadian exclusive, the HBO Max of Paramount.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe Crave does have Survivor stuff. Either way. I don't know. It's like, it's that, or I'm like, which Saw movie do I put on while I vacuum? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that I want to watch like that, you know, passively enough that I'm like, you know, I used to watch Big Brother. I was such a Big Brother guy for like 20 seasons. And I was like, I think I'm done. I started when I was a kid. I just kind of kept it up. Same with Hell's Kitchen. The last season happened and I was like, I like the winner. I like that. But then I watched a documentary that just kind of ruined the series for me. And I was like, I think I'm done with any of Gogo Ramsay's TV ventures at the moment. Not for me. I think now that, you know, hey, audience, thanks for sticking around. We're going to get into Magic Talk very soon.
Yeah.
Speaking of Magic Talk, are you going to be at the Magic Con in Atlanta in September?
Yes, so I'll be at Magic Con Atlanta. I actually will be doing a bunch of activations there, which will be really fun. So more to come on that soon. I'll also be there cheering on Steve, because it's going to be Steve Stillman's first Pro Tour appearance.
Oh, shit!
Yes.
Sorry, Ken. Big congrats to Steve.
Yeah, so...
Big congrats to Steve making the Pro Tour, baby.
So if nobody
well
knows
done.
That Steve is my boyfriend and they don't watch Crybabies that much, Sonic the Hedgehog. But yeah, it's his first Pro Tour appearance, so we're all really excited. I made these, like, meme Steve shirts that we're all going to wear to cheer him on.
That's
and
really
I'm stoked, because, you know, it's very cool. Very cool accomplishment. And it's Edge of Eternities, yeah. Which I, like, I'm not going to lie, when Edge of Eternities was first spoiled, I was very, like, lukewarm on it. I was like, yeah, seems like okay. Seems kind of cool. But then after playing at the pre-release with Loading Ready Run and, like, actually playing the cards,
yeah,
I was like, this set slaps. Like, this is really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Mechanics are really cool. I really like a lot of the cards. So now I'm, like, even more stoked to watch, like, the draft portion, because I got to... It's just so cool.
I've been enjoying the draft for Edge of Eternities because, it, as with most drafts these days, it's like one color comes out as a front runner, and then after that gets drafted out, you get to see where the rest of the stuff shines. And I've been really loving watching anybody that ends up drafting blue-black, because there's some spice in blue that gets really supported by black in this set. I like this set a lot. I was stoked on it when it was announced. I'll say that. I was like, Space Tezzeret is in the key art. Okay, let's see what shenanigans he gets up to. What are we getting? There's the Eldrazi teaser and the Sliver teaser, and you're like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? They gave us one card each. It's not that big a deal. It's not that deep.
I was like, they're gonna have Slivers again. It was just like one thing.
Yeah. I do think that, like, I think Station is a cool mechanic. I also think that the language around crewing vehicles is so ingrained right now that getting anybody to go, I station this, is, it's not happening. At least in my circles, it's not been working out. Like, I'll play with one of the, like, legendary planet lands, and I'll be like, okay, station this. And then it's just like, people are like, just say crew. We know what you mean when you say crew, when you're crewing that. And they're like, no, it's going to be different, because one day in, like, Modern Horizons 5, Watsy's going to print up a spaceship that you can crew and station, but the crew cost is going to be like 50 and the station is going to be 50. And, you know, it's like either one shot or none. Who knows? You know what I mean? Well, that wouldn't be good design, but you get what I'm saying. It's only a matter of time before, you know, somebody at Watsy is like, let's put both of these on one card and really let it ride. I'm a big fan of the set. There's like, I will say, I thought I would be keener on some of the legends this set. I've already theory crafted the Lobster Citizen and Servandum. Like, I've got, I wrote a deck tech for EDH Rec, which you can go check out now. It's already out for Servandum, a Sunstar Exemplar, where basically it's not a competitive deck, but it'll clear every board. You're gonna be the person people hate at the table because nothing's gonna stick. That guy gets rid of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the green and white cards in the set.
Yeah, what was the standouts for you? What'd you really like? If you had to pick, like, a card that surprised you the most, or, like, one that you were like, I gravitated towards this one.
So
what's something that stands out?
The first card I looked at that I was like, whoa, was Ouroboroid. I looked at that and I was like, that card's really sick. And then at pre-release, I wound up opening that, and I opened what is it called, Terra Symbiosis, and I opened what is the white one where you can, whenever you cast your second spell, you could choose, you could put a counter on it.
Oh, the Cosmogrand
Zenith. Yes. Yeah. So I played those.
Bananas.
And my green white pool was just cracked, and I had so much fun with the counters, but Ouroboros is just like broken, because like every time you go to combat, you just put counters and they just get more and more and more and more. And that's like my favorite thing to do. Like, I love my Bristly Bill counters. Deck. I had so much fun playing that, yeah, and like just making them grow a shit ton and dispersing the counters everywhere. Sorry, I cursed. But yeah, that's like right up my alley. So I had so much fun playing that. And I haven't built any like commander decks yet from the set, except for like I played the spaceships. I played the Jund spaceship.
Oh, like the precon stuff?
I like kind of built it on my own without the precon. So I don't know if it's weird to call it a commander deck because it's like a spaceship. You know what I mean?
But it's still a commander, but it just feels
weird because I'm like, this is my ship.
Yeah. This one feels weirder than like Shorakai does. Because Shorakai is a vehicle. Shorakai is like a big old robot that you crew.
Right, where this is just like a floating vehicle in space. So to be like, this is my commander, it feels weird. I'm like,
I know. Huh. But now all legendary vehicles can be your commander. The last ride in the command zone. Come on
now. It's pretty cool. I'm actually excited that they did that because there's a lot of really cool vehicles. And I feel like as far as vehicle commander goes, like there's a couple. Like I play Katori. Mm-hmm. It's the altar. The altar is Dale Earnhardt. And it's such a fun deck.
Oh, wow.
I love playing it. It's really, really fun. But it's like there's that Katori and then there's like Shorakai. And I don't really see many other vehicle commanders.
Well, there's Greasefang is one of them that's pretty popular. And then for a while it was just Dapala because Dapala said vehicle and was a legendary creature. But Dapala is also like all about dwarfs. Like it's just like, oh, if you got dwarves and vehicles, you're like, all right, well, do we have enough to support this? Not really. It's not really that big of a payoff. Let's see what Greasefang has to offer. Oh, okay. Parhelion comes in for, we'll do that.
Yeah, so it tends to be like a lot of the same where like now the doors are kind of open to play a vehicle and build around the vehicle a little bit. So maybe there's just...
You can build around Parhelion, too.
You can build around Parhelion, too. Put that on the box.
Yeah. The new precons for intro decks is going to feature one with Parhelion, too. And it's just white token strat. But hey, you're in white, so don't expect to cast this big old thing often at 8 mana. I will say, I also haven't gotten to making the legends or making a deck around a legend like physically, but Final Fantasy, I just literally this week sleeved up Golbez Crystal Collector, another one I did a deck tech for on EDH Rec, and I made a Genova deck, and Genova was my first green deck in a little while because I don't really with green. Sorry, Ken. And literally going through this set, I was like, Ouroboroid, Terra Symbiosis, Bio something or other, the one that makes a lander and makes creatures enter with +1 counters equal to the lands that have entered this turn. Like a bunch of gas for that deck. And I'm like, man, I guess it was a good time to build a Genova deck. You know, it's like super well supported, very cool. Plus, she's an alien and you get space lands this set for basics. I mean, what's not to like?
I know. We were eating good. And I think that's one of the issues was like,
oh, yeah,
I probably wasn't as excited for Edge of Eternities because I was so hyped on Final Fantasy that like, even though it was like, hey, there's this cool new thing coming out, I was like, yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, look what Vivi does and look at this card and look at this one for this game. And then I was just like hung up on it. And I feel like the hype is still going strong for that set. Like people are still playing talking about it. I built five commander decks from Final Fantasy.
What are they? I mean, you just said Vivi, so I'm going to guess Vivi's one of them.
I played Vivi. It was Ian's list, but I played Vivi. I CDH Vivi, which is like awesome. Then I also built Tifa. Tifa was really cool.
Yeah. Naya?
No, mono green Tifa.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, very cool.
That one was gross. I built Zidane from Final Fantasy IX because that's my favorite Final Fantasy game.
Lua told me you would be on that one, like when, because Lua did the podcast not too long ago, and when Final Fantasy was being spoiled, she was like, this is gonna be Tori's baby. This is like, I can tell you right now, 9 is where it's at. Zidane is gonna be where it's at. Yep. So
I built that one I and I did a lot of like the thievery like cards because that's the whole point of the deck. And then there's some cards that I just shoved in there because like they're characters from the game. Like Adelbert Steiner is in there. It does not belong in that deck. There's no equipment. But I was just like, he's part of the core group of the game, so he's going in.
Flavor, baby. That's some fun for you.
I built Tidus with the counters, and I'm trying to think what
else.
Okay,
the pre-con Tidus.
Yeah, and then I just like modified it a little bit because I wanted to add some cooler cards. But you don't even have to modify them as much anymore because the pre-cons are really strong. No.
Well, not to mention the Final Fantasy ones were so like, first of all, Final Fantasy in terms of a draft environment, what a spoiling for everybody. Cause like just an incredible set to be drafting. Every color gets to shine. So many different strategies. It's like, it rewards you for like paying attention to the draft, but also gameplay is so necessary. One of the all time limited sets. And then on top of it, chock full of legends. And then the pre-cons are so thematic and so cool. And yes, there's some cards that you just like don't want in the like Tataru Taru should not be in the deck it's in, but it makes sense because the character's in that game. But otherwise, it's still like a great card and it's still like a really cool design. And like, sure, you know what I mean? Like it's in there, but is it going to make that list 9 times out of 10? Only the competitive ones, I think, you know, but otherwise, I don't think Terra really cares about the Taru Taru so much, you know? The precons have gotten really good. Even these two recent ones, like the Edge ones, are pretty solid. Yeah. Out the box. Just like a good time.
Yeah, they're real good. And it's nice, too, because like I have all the Final Fantasy precons, and they're like nice to keep together, too. Like, you can just keep them together, open them as needed, like, just play them against each other. If you have a couple friends who want to just, you know, play precons.
I was tempted because I've done that for a couple of these, but I think Final Fantasy really was difficult because the price was just absurd out here. It was just not easy. One of my best friends got into Magic by buying like 2 boxes of Final Fantasy and the pre-cons and then some, and now she's hooked. But it, you know, when it comes to like pre-cons and stuff, I did it for Warhammer. I've got the Warhammer deck sleeved up. I've got the Fallout deck still sleeved up, and I think I still have the Duskmourne deck sleeved up, but even though like that's not really like for any reason other than like I haven't gotten around to taking them apart or changing them up. But like, I do love the idea of being like, hey, how about we take a break from like the super synergistic on rails decks that we've all come up with and kind of just like pick from one of these and see what Necron Monolith does, you know? I don't remember this card, do you? It hasn't really made a splash, but in this environment, it's probably dope.
Yeah, and it's also just kind of like playing a board game. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we're gonna play Kerplunk and see what happens. Like, that's kind of what it feels like when you're all playing a precon.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not playing Commander. We're playing Final Fantasy tonight, you know?
Yes.
That's a lot of fun like that. I loved Final Fantasy. Really enjoying Edge of Eternities. I will say one funny thing that I forgot to mention when you brought up Cosmogrand Zenith is I was listening to Limited Resources, and that's Lou Scott Fargus and Marshall like reviewing the set, giving the cards a grade to like, you know, how they would draft.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar. Got the Cosmogrand Zenith. That's what Steve listens to in the car.
I love it so much. I know you're familiar, but I don't know if this audience, like a lot of my
Commander.
Audience is like, Commander only, you know, so folks aren't super into Limited, which I think is wrong. Limited is probably the best way to play Magic. Cube might be the one that beats it.
I agree.
It goes Cube, Limited, and then Commander. And look, Commander's not behind it by far. It's like an inch, you know what I mean? But it's still, I love those other formats so much. I'll say Cosmogrand Zenith comes up and LSV is like, so this isn't legendary? And I'm like, is this the first time Luis has begged for a card to be legendary? Like, is this the first time, like, Hall of Famer Luis Scott Vargas looked at a card and went, this should have been legendary?
I didn't even realize that it wasn't.
Especially in the current era.
I just was like, mythic, it is. Like,
I mean, it's got all the makings of, like, a solid white legend. It's so cool. But and frankly, you know what? Bring back more non-legendary designs that you kind of like. Damn, this would have been a cool commander. Like Tomazoa or whatever. It's
the
like
jellyfish.
That Naya one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a cool set. Very cool environment. Standard's pretty sick. I don't know what to expect or, you know, Spider-Man coming to play. But,
Spider-Man.
I mean, What are your thoughts on this Marvel Spider-Man situation?
Well, I will say, okay. I will say that when it got announced, I was like, that's very cool and interesting and also huge because it's Marvel.
Yes.
I'm a big Marvel fan. I like all the movies. I like all the shows. I don't really read a lot of the comics because there's just too much. And I already read One Piece, so I already have like one dedicated, you know, lifelong adventure.
Yeah, you need an entire room for that.
So I watch the movies. I go to all the, you know, the premieres and everything. I'm excited for all the movies. So when I saw that they were doing Marvel stuff and Spider-Man, I was like stoked because I was like, oh, that's really cool. And also it's like going to make magic in New York City, which is kind of funny. But at first I was just like, eh, like, okay, that's cool, I guess. But now after seeing like the artwork that's been like teased and everything else coming out, like the comic book covers, I was like, all right, like I see the vision now. I see where this takes place and like where this belongs, I guess, in the game.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be a good way to also get new players into it. Like after seeing the Thanos like card too with like the Infinity Stone, I was like, all right, that's sick looking. And
it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, and I had recently, like literally over the weekend, I taught my brother how to play Magic with the Final Fantasy starter kit. Which was like hard because it's a lot for a new player to pick up on those decks. I probably should have got like Foundations or something, but that was all I had. So I taught him how to play, and he was just like, yeah, I saw that there was like Marvel stuff coming out because he's a Marvel person. So I was like, well, this is cool because I am a big fan of, I know there's a lot of controversial, like, I don't really like Universes Beyond, or it's like the Fortniteification of Magic, like, which I totally get.
Yeah.
But I am also for like stuff like this and like Final Fantasy bringing people into the game because it's like, you might not have known how cool Magic could be. Like after showing my brother Magic with the Final Fantasy cards, he was like, oh, I don't really know much Final Fantasy. And I was like, you don't have to. I was like, the cards are still cool on their own. I was like, but you should get it. Mm-hmm. And he texted me the next day and he was just like, I can't wait to come over later and play Magic. It's all I've been thinking about all day. Like I just downloaded Arena. I'm so excited.
That's so sweet.
And I was like, I told him, you're going to love all the planeswalkers. It's like its own version of Marvel because like they can planeswalk, which is kind of like how they do like the bridges in Thor. And they have their own like, you know, realms and planets and timelines. I'm like, it's really cool. And I told him, I was like, oh yeah, like if you're a fan of anything, there's like something that exists in Magic for you. Like if you like space operas and Destiny, like cool, Edge of Eternities is really, really cool. If you are a superhero Marvel person, I always call the March of Machines the Avengers set, because it just reminded me.
Well, there was also War of the Spark that was like also heralded as like an Avengers set. Yeah, but
I was
set,
like, the one with March of Machines and like Aftermath, I was just like, and they all come back, I was like, oh, this is like Endgame.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I love the team up cards and everything in that. That was also like a big Marvel-esque superhero team up kind of thing. That was cool as hell. But now we literally have Marvel. Like it's happening.
And because they showed Thanos and everything else, I'm like, okay, like I think they're probably going to branch out and maybe do more core sets, but more like standard sets of different Marvel IPs, which I think could be really cool.
Yeah.
I think there's a space for it, you know?
Well, I mean, look at I've never been like a huge Marvel guy, but I've always been an X-Men guy and Spider-Man guy. Like in terms of Spider-Man's never appealed to me, but his villains always.
Who's your favorite Spider-Man? And then, out of the movies.
Oh, tough to say, because like, I guess it's probably Miles, just because like I like Spider-Verse Spider-Man.
Yes.
I don't like the live action Spider-Man stuff is not really my thing. And even then, Tobey Maguire is just such a ham that I'd have to say him. But like the other ones haven't really appealed to me. I like Tom Holland as a person best. I wish him the best. You know
what
I mean?
He's a good Spider-Man.
Like, he's just so charismatic.
He's a good Spider-Man. I really loved Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man because I thought he was like
another person I'm rooting for.
I just thought he was like super, like he like looked really nerdy and like cute. And I was like, yo, he's good. But I love Tobey Maguire just because like, I don't know. I feel like 90s kids, you're like born into that era. I'll never forget watching that and then seeing like the Nickelback ending and being like, this is the coolest thing in the world. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. Of course. So for me, I've never really been superhero ever, really. Like I love Like, I love the idea of superheroes. Like, even when it was, like, when I was younger, I'd play fighting games not because of any, like, property or anything, but I'd be like, I like video games where there's fighting because then there's, like, creativity in how you're using, like, your special skill, how they have to go deep on, like, one thing. And, you know, if somebody's good with ice, they have to get creative because they can't just, like, do the same thing yep. over and over again. And it's similar, like, with Spider-Man villains, for example. Like, there's only so many ways you can do Venom, right? Like, Carnage is, like, an offshoot of that kind of thing. I clearly don't know enough about Marvel to, like, know, like, whether or not this is, like, apocryphal or whatever. But, like, to me, Carnage is, like, worse Venom. Like, scarier, crazier Venom. That's what I got. You know what I mean? But he looks so sick. Carnage looks like a nightmare come true, and I love that. I think that, like, Kingpin should have a very interesting card. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about Sandman and how, is this going to be like a counters commander? Like, is that what we have to look forward to, mm-hmm. you know? So I really am interested in the villains. I love that kind of stuff. And X-Men is just going to be the perfect pairing of, like, another Final Fantasy in the sense of, like, it's all Legends, baby. Top to bottom, got it. T to B Legends the whole way down. You know yep. what I mean? Because they've got such amazing villains and then so many great heroes and... I don't know. Meanwhile, the other part of me is like, I hope they do a Saw Universes Beyond. Give us Jigsaw.
Oh my God. Like, complete other end.
I know. It makes no sense. I know, but I, you know, it makes no sense, but I love it. That's my thing. If they ever jump the shark enough to do Saw, then that's when I'll be like, nah, Universe Beyond found me, the target audience, the one person.
Listen,
you know what I
nothing
mean?
Is off the table.
Hey, Mortal Kombat could make it. I would love that too. That's the other one for me.
Oh yeah,
is a wild Mortal Kombat commander deck just being like, who's in charge here? Shang Tsung. Okay, let's get f-ing nuts. Sorry, Ken. Anyway, there's a lot to look forward to. That's the thing about Magic is like a lot of people are talking about Universe Beyond. Like, it's not the game I recognize. Like, that's honestly totally fair. I agree to an extent. Like, I think having so many sets and then a few of those sets being Universe Beyond sets and that are like the biggest releases and the most heralded ones, like, that'll bring more people in. And that's important. That's like how my buddy got started. She got into Final Fantasy. That makes the most sense. It's awesome. However, I do want and I crave the lore win. I crave the return to like Kamigawa that we got. Like, I want Edge of Eternity is going somewhere new, but with Magic feel and characters. That's important too. So I'm on your side, people who hate Universe Beyond, in the sense that I agree with what your motivation is behind not liking Universe Beyond. But man, you put a card in front of me that looks this cool and does such crazy stuff, and you're telling me I can't like it? Yeah, I don't think I could talk to you about that. Like, there's no way. Have you seen Symbiote Spider-Man? Look at this thing. Crazy stuff. Very cool. What do you want from me? I love it. You know what I mean?
Listen, you're talking to somebody who has a secret lair deck, collects secret lairs. Like, I'm the target audience for everything. Like, the SpongeBob ones, I was, like, first in line. Like, ready and raring to go.
That one was a lot of people hated that meme stuff. But to me, it's like, that's the only counterspell I ever want to see. That's the only one that encapsulates the vibe, frankly. That's the only one that I think makes sense. So if anybody out there is playing any other counterspell, sorry, I don't accept
it. Yeah, you don't approve.
Mm-mm. If you counter my spell using counterspell and it's not SpongeBob giving you a little bit of attitude, nah. I don't trust it. I don't take it. You just time walked yourself, dog. It's over. Anyway, I mean, we've been talking about a bunch of stuff. So Spider-Man drops, I think, while you're in Atlanta for MagicCon, right? I think
that's the actual release of Spider-Man, and I believe the pre-release is the weekend before.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty exciting. We didn't talk about this on air yet, so I'm just going to reiterate what I told you before, but I'm not going to travel to the States for a while. It's just not safe. Like, I don't want to have anything get messed up and then I can't go home, or, you know, I'm a performer and then they're going to look at me and be like, where are your paperwork? I'm like, I'm going down for a convention. And they're like, we don't believe you. So, you know, I don't want to get messed up for that. But while I won't be at MagicCon Atlanta, I will be in Ottawa for Command Fest, face-to-face Command Fest, Ottawa, September 5th through 7th. I'm only going to be there the 6th and 7th, though. So if you're going out to that, come say hi. I'm going to be there with a big group of people and hanging out and having a fun time. So come on out to that. And also make sure you go over to MagicCon Atlanta if you can safely travel and are willing to, because you should. It's going to be dope. Like Tori said, lots of stuff happening. Magic Cons are like the best vibe every single time. I love it so much, and it hurts to not be able to go to the next ones. Like, I was ready for Vegas, and then, you know, a friend of mine got detained, and I got scared, so I pulled out of that, and I was supposed to come to Atlanta, and that whole run is not happening for me this year, but hopefully it happens again in the coming years, because my God, is it the most fun ever. I really have a blast at every Magic Con, and, you know, Tori's going to be there with Lua, and, cheering on Steve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you can get a meme Steve shirt, but you can get some Sharpie on a white shirt and, you know, write Go Steve. I think that'll capture the sentiment anyway. So go and support Steve Stillman. This is what it became.
Yeah, Instead of plugging Magic Con, it became the Steve Stillman Support Podcast. Great.
And now we've gone deep. We did a little bit of plugging. We did a little bit of talking. Now it's time. Tori, you're called in to the Bowlcast. We got to talk about whether or not you got a story or a pet peeve to talk about on the Bowlcast today. What you got for us?
Pet peeves. So I think my pet peeve, and I am probably the one peeved, but also the PV, because I'm in this position too.
Oh.
I think something that is rough right now is playing commanders that are notoriously like kill on sight, but trying to be like, no, don't target me, like, you know, like, and wanting to still play the game, I guess is the right way to say it.
Okay.
Because it sucks so bad, and this is one of the reasons that I can't believe I have to say this live and recorded. I have taken Kalia apart because I still have the card, I still have all the secret layers, they're all in my binder now that I look at, but certain commander decks are not fun to play anymore and not fun to play against anymore. And I won't say not fun, but when you play Kalia and someone's like, I'm going to counter that, and you're pissed because now you got to pay like 5 mana for this thing, you know, and then it happens again. Right. And now you're paying like 6, like, you know, 7, and you're paying 9. And it just sucks because you're not having fun because you can't play your commander. And those are decks that are like, if your commander's not out, I don't have 8 mana to cast this big demon in my hand or dragon. Like, it's very dependent on the commander to win. So it just kind of feels stinky to do nothing and sit there and be like, why'd you counter my commander? But then also, when you're playing against somebody with a scary commander,
yes,
and they play it, you're like, no way. That thing's gonna, like, that thing's gonna beat me up. So it's this very tricky thing I've been noticing with my deck builds, because I always notoriously play like the scary commanders. I play Kalia, I play the first Sliver, I played Vel'Koz. Like, I just play things that I'm like, the second it resolves, it's a menace, and it's like, you gotta kill it. But then I start to get like, no, come on, everyone's bullying me and beat me up, and you know, no one's letting me play my game, and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, for a reason, that thing sucks. Nobody wants to have cascading slivers everywhere. But I think that's my peeve right now, is when I'm doing it and when other people do it. Because especially when you play Commander, like if you're playing CDH at a tournament or something, obviously it's different because your intent is to win.
Yes.
But playing these kind of Commanders with your buddies at a bracket 2, bracket 3, sometimes there's just no way to do that with these certain commanders. Like, you can't bring Yuriko, Winota, VV, Kalia to, I feel like, any bracket 2
it's
leading
tough.
3 pod.
Tough sell.
Yeah, because it's just like, the second it resolves, it's like, there's no dragon that's like, well, it's not that scary compared to the other dragons. Like, no, it's probably still scary. It's probably still powerful.
It's scary. We're trying to cheat it out for a reason. It's expensive because
it's
good. Yeah,
and like, sometimes it's just like, these things happen. Like, we played a game recently on the channel with Anna and Iffy, and it was super, super fun. But I played this Tifa deck that I just was like, I'm going to rip apart Bill. build Tifa. She seems awesome. And I, like, by turn three, turn four, was like, oh, I can one-shot somebody with 64 commander damage. Trample right now.
Damn.
Oops. That's not fun for everybody who might want, like, a long game. And I was just like, holy this commander's
not
insane.
Not very bracket two of you.
Well, it was funny because we kept, the best was we kept joking around about how I was like, there's no game changers in the deck except the crop rotation. Like, it's just landfall. But landfall is just apparently really good if you have a turn one play.
Yeah.
And I did. I had exploration in turn one. So I was just cooking. But yeah, it was funny because I was like, damn, like, this is a kill on site commander. Tifa's scary. But yeah, it sucks because when you play those, you get kind of bummed out when you're, I guess, I don't want to say like ganged up on, but when you're like, obviously, like the threat
controlled
because you just have this card in play, you can't really be mad, but it's also like, damn, that kind of sucks. So I've been trying to lean to deck building and picking different commanders that are like, they're fun and integral to the deck, but they're not like a collective sigh when they hit the board. No one's like, I'm going home, like, see you later, guys, which is hard to navigate sometimes when you're you know,
it's not easy
when you're a person like me who loves these horrible things.
I'll say it's like there was that whole discourse around Voya or Voja or however
the
you
other commander deck I have. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is like the idea being, why does it have War Three? Right? Why does it have War Three? And the answer is because it's really good and it costs five, and people are gonna want to try to kill it. And like, if it didn't have Ward 3, or at least, like, Ward of some kind, Ward 1 would have been totally reasonable, but then you're, like, paying 2 for a Swords of Plowshares or whatever, and that's, you know, but that's the thing, is, like, they've gotten more creative with the Ward costs. Another card that I think of when this comes up now as a newer commander to kind of make a splash is Captain Howler. You know this one from either
Played Drift? It live in Chicago.
Hell yeah, you did. Captain Howler, Sea Scourge, has Ward 2 and pay 2 life, and that text box is bananas. Whenever you discard one or more cards, target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn for each card discarded this way. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player this turn, you draw a card. Doesn't say you have to control that creature. Somebody's attacking somebody and saying, hey, I just need to get an attack trigger off. Do you mind letting me through? And then you could be like, well, I'm going to discard my hand at instant speed, and I'm going to draw a card for your guy hitting that person, plus, and now it gets +12/+0.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep.
Awesome. You know, and Captain Howl is a card that I see in play, and I go, well, we got to get rid of that. But that ward cost, it, you know, it keeps you from doing it too easily. And I think that's fair. If Kalia had a ward cost, I think it would be back to being scary, but not in a way that, like, is impossible to play. You know,
yep.
You've got commanders like Edgar Markov that, like, nobody even has to play. Those are, like, the saltiest of the ones. But I don't know. Kalia is a scary commander. But if I saw a Kalia deck in front of me, I'd be like, there's a novelty here. I want to see it do a thing at least once.
It's kind of cool. That's the thing. And it's also fun because I feel like a lot of new players build a Kalia deck. And I'm just like, this is a canon event. I can't interfere. I love watching it because I'm just like, yes, that's the way.
Yeah.
And I love it so much, but I was just like, I have to play something else because I'm so tired of sitting down and being like, no, please, right, resolve. It's
brutal.
Just a Balefire Dragon. It's nothing that bad. It's not that bad. It's totally chill.
Just
totally
a Balefire
chill.
Dragon?
So now I've been building these commander decks where the commander's like good. It helps the deck do its thing. But it's not like, I don't need the commander to make other plays, which I think is like important to do if you're going to play other decks like that.
Absolutely. You shouldn't be completely reliant on your commander for your whole strategy. You have to be able to have like a bailout point or something. But I will say personally to this effect, and again, this is like you've already said that you're like starting to build a little bit differently. I've noticed that organically over the years, my deck building style has moved over from like, I'm going to pick this commander because it's super powerful and good. Like when Meryn was out or Edgar was first released and the Ur-Dragon and Atraxa, I had all those decks, but I haven't had any I'm going to go to EDHREC right now. I'm going to go look at the top commanders from the past 2 years, and I'm going to pick the first one that comes up that I have a deck of, and I'll tell you what ranking that is. And while I do that, I'll say the commanders that I gravitate towards now are commanders that people kind of look at and go, oh, that's pretty cool, but I don't feel pressure to remove it. Like Taysa from Murders at Karlov Manor, Taysa Opulent Oligarch, mm-hmm. Lazav, Wearer of Faces from the same set. I just built Golbez Crystal Collector. People look at that and go, it's a glass cannon. The whole deal is around this guy. It's like, yeah. And yep. I know that now. I know I'm going in knowing that. You know what I mean? There's a part of it that's like, yeah, you're gonna get screwed if this goes away, but are you completely dead? No, you got other stuff in there. Let's see. I'm currently at 50, top 50, and I don't have a commander of a deck that I've like brewed or like upgraded from a precon so far. I'm gonna go down this list. So while I'm still going, my buddy Ashley, who just got into Magic thanks to Final Fantasy, messaged me and sent me a picture like, hey, what are these slivers all about?
Yeah.
Because she opened a Thrumming Hive pool. And I was like, look, I'm just going to give it to you straight and say one of the most hated creature types of all time. You bring a deck out that slivers, you're going to get hated, but that's part of the fun. Right. So you either lean in or you don't. But just so you know, people are not going to like it. And you're going to get focused on a lot. You're going to get a taste for being the villain. Make sure you bring another deck that you can get away with flying under the radar later on, but slivers, it's gonna be red flag city. You're not gonna be able to get away with it. Okay, so I do have an Anixia deck, so technically 77, but Prosper is probably the one that I still play, which is rank 80. So out of the top 100 commanders, I've got two in there, and that's just saying like, even then, Prosper is all in on Prosper. There's no way around it. And that's a deck that, you know, I don't play often. You know what I mean? I found myself deck building in ways that says like, this is going to be fun. I built an engine around this, and that's the point.
Yep.
It's just eventually I'll get the engine. If the engine happens, I'll be happy. If it doesn't, I'll still have played Magic. You kind of go in knowing that. But if you build one of the top, like Ur-Dragon, okay, this is actually relevant because we not only talked about this on the podcast in a mailbag episode, but it was also the subject of an Am I the Bolus on EDHREC.com recently. Guy's playing with two friends at an LGS the whole time, every game. They have to use their removal on the Ur-Dragon player because it's Ur-Dragon. Yeah. And it's just a barrage of dragons, and you have essentially like a cloud key for dragons in the command zone, what's not to love. And then one game, the final game, the Ur-Dragon player is flooded and decides to play the Ur-Dragon after, you know, explosive vegetationing and going, okay, guys, I've had nothing this entire game. Just please let me have this. And then one player decided, okay, I won't use this removal on your Ur-Dragon. I'll just use it on the other player's Death Toucher. And that player was like, well, I only have this Death Toucher and then this fight spell, so I'm gonna fight the Ur-Dragon.
Oh my god.
And I'll say this, I agree with that move if you're playing to win. If you've been playing to win the whole time, 100%. Like, you're in a pretty desperate spot if the first thing you're really playing is the Ur-Dragon. The first thing they hit the board as like a non-land permanent being the Ur-Dragon, that's pretty rough.
You're severely like, behind there.
Yeah, but that only means that you've only got plenty of deck to get to, and you're going to play that stuff for free off the dragon. Yep. I don't know.
I don't buy it.
You know. Yeah, me neither. But it's also like one of those things where I don't feel bad for you because you got the value in the command zone anyway. Like, there are dragons that are closed games. If you're playing it from the command zone sooner, tough luck. We've been having to remove your stuff the whole night. I think I'm cool with this one. But, you know, you see somebody playing a Mirim Sentinel Worm deck, that thing's also got ward. But the idea being like, I don't know, somebody playing it for the first time, you want to see them pop off and they'll be happy. But then you got to be like, you know, we hate that deck now, right? So we're going to have to like,
now you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think this is a great pet peeve. It's an understandable one. It's like, there's the boogeyman in a bunch of formats, and in ours, we've got a bunch of them. You know what I mean? There's so many of them. There's new ones coming every out every day. Set.
And then you got to figure out, is it better to be peeved off or peeved on when you're the one who's playing the scary guy, or you're the one dealing with it?
Okay, so listeners, you got to walk away from here. Walk away from this episode and wonder, is it better to be peeved off or peeved on? Don't think about it too much. Are you peeved off or peeved on? Yes or no? Yeah, but also, that's not a yes or no question. Yep.
That's so silly.
I love it. I think this is great. So here's the thing. So we're changing up the format of the podcast a little bit, where we're not doing the bookends anymore because it's just too much of a hassle to record three times for one episode. But so I'm going to give my verdict here with my guest. And so I can imagine that when I disagree with them, it might not be so pleasant, but I completely agree with you. If I were somebody who got excited about building, I don't know, like Pant Laza Sun Favored, the dinosaur legend from the Return to Ixalan set, where it's just a beater, and it's also like all your dinosaurs, like for the first dinosaur that enters every turn,
yeah, you get Discover
yeah. X. That's bananas. Is. Okay, it that's is. Crazy. That's nuts. If I built that deck and I was excited about it, I would also have to come in knowing, especially having played this game for so long, it might not break my way. This is a scary guy. It's not easy to keep this around. Obviously, I want to do the thing, but I got to build with like that kind of stuff in mind. Heroic intervention, you know? What's that? The white...
Teferi's protection.
Man, why am I blanking on
you
it?
You have to do everything.
Flawless maneuver.
Yeah, you got to... Playing these commanders is all about like, all right, deflect, I got to get slot. It, but I also have to keep it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're key pieces. It's the whole deal. But I will say... You play a Pant Laza deck against me, you got to catch me on a good day for me to not want to get rid of that thing. At the very least, I'm going, oh my God, guys, we got to do something about that. And maybe I won't remove it, but I'm not going to be stoked. Like, unless you're new, if you're new to the game, I'll be happy for you. You know what I mean? If it's a brand new deck, I'll be happy for you. Just like you said, it's like a core memory that forms. You've got a Kalion playing, you didn't get to swing with it. That sucks.
It does. There's certain games where I'll never forget. Like I played Kalion one time and the commander cost was like 9. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is so bad. Like if this gets blown up one more time, I'm just hard casting from here. No tapped and attacking. Yep. They're just coming out.
That's the thing, is like at a certain point with a Kalion deck though, you get to an amount of commander attacks where like, I guess I should just cast this demon. I guess I should, like, I 7 mana, that's enough for this angel that I've been holding in my hand hoping to attack with my commander, you know? And Lightning Greaves can only get you so far. Those need to stay in play, and there's a window before you get to attach them where your opponents know that Kalia's coming, and they don't want her around. And I, again...
Can't blame them.
Can you blame them? You can't blame them.
Can't blame them.
I will say I'll make one exception for a Kalia deck, okay? And I'm putting this out there on record for anybody who's going to play against me. If you've got a Kalia deck and your Kalia is the Jack Hughes profile Kalia, you know the one from Modern Horizons 3.
Yes, that's awesome.
The one that I don't think it's in frame right now. I've got it on my wall. She's up here. Absolutely gorgeous. Just one of the most beautiful pieces of art and magic. If you got that in play, you can hit me with it. I'll take it. You have to remind me that I said this.
I'll remind you. I'll put it back together just for this.
Honestly, bring it. I'd be down. We should do more two-headed giant commander. That's what I think should happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody to protect your partner's commander. Somebody who's like just the blue player playing Baral. So you can play Kalia.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with not the bolus on this one, Tori. Yeah. You are not the villain. Your pet peeve justified. Also, you recognize that while it's something that annoys you, it's something you participate in. You came in with an idea on how to like change your approach to it so you don't feel bad about it, while also recognizing that there are some circumstances wherein it'll just work out sometimes. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell people where they can find you and what you want them to check out before we tap out of this one and
sure. go out for dinner? Yes. You can find me on YouTube on Scrybabies. We also have a Patreon if you want to check that out. It's the number one way to support our show. We have a little token club where we
yes, it
tokens
is.
Every month. There's higher tiers where I hand draw a token for every single person every month. We have cool merch. Come check us out there. And if you will be mm-hmm. at MagicCon Atlanta, please check it out. We have some stuff going on there we can hopefully release soon. That's where we'll be. And for now, just keep watching Am I the Bullcast, because we love Mike so much.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tori. Make sure you subscribe to Scrybabies and follow Lua and Tori on Blue Sky and all those platforms, because that's where you're going to get the information about. If you're not a patron, if you're not watching the feeds, I highly recommend it. Get on board. Make sure you keep up to date, because these announcements are coming soon, I have to assume. So get on top of it. Make sure you're ready for Atlanta, MagicCon Atlanta, and follow at Tori of the Vast. Is that right? That's on all platforms.
Right?
At Tori of the Vast, which is why it's such a devastating thing to hear that Kali is taken apart.
I know.
Your namesake. Look, gang, let's get it back together. Let's figure it out. Anyway, make sure you follow Tori. Make sure you follow Lua. Make sure you follow Scrybabies. Go say hi at Command Fest MagicCon Atlanta. Come say hi to me at Command Fest on Ottawa at Face to Face in September. At Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Follow Morgan, my co-host at Indigo Gentleman. Make sure you read my series, Am I the Bolus, over on EDHREC.com. By the time this comes out, I believe I will be in Vancouver and I'll have shows. August 21st through 23rd, I'll be headlining the Comedy Underground. And then I'll be on Jokes Please on August 29th. I'm not doing too many shows out there, so come see me while you can. And we'll be back next week with probably another mailbag, and I'm excited about it. And so are you, baby. It's time to scoot the day. We're out of here.